If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse number 9. Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse number 9. And once you get there, just hold your place for a minute. And I want to take a second to introduce our brand new series here at Vision Church called Behind the Music. I am really, really excited about this message today. And there is so much content in this that it is insane. So we're going to do our best to just get through this today and bring clarity and truth. But I really believe with everything that's within me that the Spirit of the Most High God wants to speak to you today in a way which He hasn't before. And I'm also going to let you know something else. During the preparation of this sermon, I, without question, felt intense spiritual opposition. It got a little bit heavy. So that tells me that this is something that the enemy absolutely does not want you to hear. So I'm pumped about it. Anybody excited for the new series this morning? Behind the Music. Awesome. So before we get to Revelation chapter 12, I want to start off by just drawing the conclusion that as a society, there is no question that we have become desensitized. Things that 50 years ago, 60 years ago would have been unspeakable, unthinkable, are now common and average, and we are uncensored by them. We are unaffected. We have become desensitized as a culture, as a society, and as a world. But this decline has not been a radical thing. It's been a gradual process that has desensitized people for a long, long time. But now, in your lifetime and in your generation, there is a quick, fast acceleration of the desensitizing of our world, unlike anything the world has ever seen. The world has always had evil present in it, but evil has never been this bold. This morning, your eyes are about to be opened to some of the radical truths of our world and how the enemy has affected our world. Right now, I just want to take a second to just introduce to you the number one song in America 50 years ago today in 1964. This was the number one song in the world. Y'all can turn that up a little bit. Don't act like you don't know it. Anybody remember that song? Anybody got enough years on you to remember that song? All right. 50 years ago. Look, y'all got to get this. 50 years ago in 1964, that was the number one song on top of Billboard charts, on top of everything. This was the number one song. You know what it was called? I Want to Hold Your Hand. And people were offended by this. They were like, the Beatles, they're too racy. They're too scandalous. I'm not going to let you listen to the Beatles. Get that devil rock music out of my house. You think I'm playing? I'm not playing. The Beatles got some hate. They became the target of some real opposition, and the name of their song was I Just Want to Hold Your Hand. 50 years. 2014. Among the Billboard Top 100 and iTunes Top 100, here are just a few of the song titles today that are within the Top 100. Titles like Pills and Potions, Anaconda, and they're not talking about reptiles. We'll stop there. Habits, Stay High, Drunk on a Plane, and this one's powerful, She Twerking. That tasted weird coming out of my mouth. Can't even lie about that. But those are some of the songs that are now the normal. You listen to them on satellite radio. You listen to them in your car. The television is flooded with it. And guess what? I guarantee you, hardly any of you have ever been offended. In the last week, was anybody offended? Did you just get up and walk out? No, maybe a couple of you. But for the most part, we have, as a world, as a society, we have become completely desensitized to the reality of what is happening among us. And for those of you who don't know what twerking is, good, I'm proud of you. And for those of you who do know, I'm not gonna explain it. This is not that type of illustrated sermon. So we're not gonna go there. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. How many of you know it's all right to laugh in church? Can anybody say amen? It's all right to laugh in church. It's all right. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And now I'm going to skip down to verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to you, inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down to you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He has just a short time. I said just a few moments ago that evil has always been present in the world. All the way back to the Garden of Eden, evil was present. But there has never been a season in life. There has never been a time in the history of humanity that evil has been more bold than it is today. It used to be that rock bands and different musicians, they would hide their message. They would disguise it subliminally. It used to be that they would hide their message in a tactic known as backmasking, where they would overlay the track with different subliminal messages, hoping that it would seep its way through into your subconscious. Evil has always been present. But now, musicians, bands, groups, rappers, singers, whatever, they feel no need, no shame in disguising, no shame in attempting to pass their message subliminally. No, friend, now evil is more bold than it has ever been. And Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 and 12 tell us that we should not be surprised. The Bible describes in Revelation chapter 12 the fall of Satan, the fall of Lucifer from heaven. He was cast down to the earth in the form of lightning. The Bible says in Revelation 12, rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them, for the deceiver, the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. But woe to you who inhabit the earth and the sea, for the enemy, the great dragon, has come to you having great wrath. And I want to point out one key word in verse number 9 of Revelation 12. If we have it, and throw it back on the screen, please. I want you to notice this. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. Look at your neighbor and tell him, he deceives the whole world. He deceives the whole world. And he has come to you having great wrath, for he knows that his time is short. I don't know if you realize this. How many of you were born before 1980? If you were born before 1980, raise your hand. Okay. Now, thank you. Thank you. Can we give it up for those people real quick? Because I just embarrassed them. Proud of you. Now, for those of you who didn't raise your hand, which is the vast majority, what I'm about to say might completely shock you, and it might even shock those of you who raised your hand. Do you realize that roughly 90 years ago, electricity was not a common feature in the residential homes of this world in America? Roughly 90 years ago, people were still living in the dark. No internet, no cell phone, no automobiles for that matter. Roughly 90 years ago, horses were still a primary means of transportation. Technology has doubled, multiplied, quadrupled, magnified in your lifetime. You have no idea the course of humanity and how rapidly and how aggressively your world and humanity is changing. If you could open up your eyes and see through the span of time, you would be alarmed at what is happening in this world. The enemy is coming with great wrath, for he knows that his time is short. If you have your Bible, flip with me really quickly to Matthew chapter 9. This may not be on the screens because I just added it right now. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. This is when Jesus shows up and there is the demoniac who is possessed of an evil spirit. This is his interaction. This is the dialogue, Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. They, the demons, began screaming at him, "Why are you bothering us, Son of God? You have no right to torture us before God's appointed time." A large herd of pigs was feeding in the distance, so the demons begged, "If you cast us out, send us into the herd of pigs." "All right, go," Jesus commanded them. Now, something really critical here in Matthew 8, the demoniac who is possessed of multiple spirits, Jesus interacts with him, and the demons within him cry out, and they say something really critical and very much applicable to this message. They say, "Jesus, why are you here? Have you come to torture us and to lock us away before our appointed time?" And that's the key phrase I want you to focus on this morning, is that there is an appointed time where Satan and his demons will be done away with. They will be locked away, where they will no longer be free to roam and terrorize and destroy and deceive the earth. The Bible says that even the demons knew that there was an appointed time approaching. Therefore, as the time draws nearer, their attack becomes more aggressive. It becomes more violent. It becomes more vicious, for the kingdom of darkness knows that time is of the essence. This morning, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we must not be deceived to what is happening in the world, both physically and spiritually around us. God has a calling and a purpose for us through this, and we cannot be distracted or caught off guard. According to Scripture, Satan has come with great wrath. He is a master of deception. We read it just a few minutes ago in Revelation. And thirdly, Satan is an expert in the area of music. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah 14, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 11. Music is a big deal. The enemy comes with wrath. He comes with deception. And he comes with the expertise of music. I'm going to read the following verses to you. Isaiah chapter 14. I'm going to pick up in verse 12. If you don't have all these on the screen, I'm sorry. It's my fault. I'm going to back up actually to verse 12. Isaiah 14, he's talking about Lucifer. "With one voice they all cry out, 'Now you are as weak as we are. Your might and power are gone. They were buried with you. All pleasant music in your palace has ceased. And now maggots are your sheet and worms your blanket. How you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroy the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, 'I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north, and I will climb to the highest heaven, and I will be like the Most High.'" Key scripture in Isaiah 14, the word of God, when it's describing the fall of Lucifer, it says, "The music, the harps," if you have the King James, "that once filled your palace have now ceased." Many theologians, many Bible scholars have expounded upon this text and several others that indicate that Lucifer was an archangel. Satan was a lead angel, and he had some sort of involvement and expertise in the area of worship. Many theologians ascribe him as heaven's former worship leader before the fall. He comes to you with great wrath, with a purpose to deceive, and he comes knowing the power of music. I'm going to flip you one more place, if you can do that. And I promise we're laying the foundation for where we're going this morning. One more place, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. Why does the enemy use music? Because it is powerful. If he can harness the power of music, he is able to deceive the masses at an unprecedented rate. He comes with great wrath, with deception, and with an expertise in music. Music is a powerful tool. The Bible declares in 1 Samuel chapter 16, beginning in verse 23. And whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp, and then Saul would feel better, and the tormenting spirit would go away. Now, that's all I want to read from 1 Samuel 16. For the sake of time, I'm just going to preach this to you and put this in modern terms. In 1 Samuel 16, the word tells us that there is power in music. 1 Samuel 16 also implies that music bridges the physical and the spiritual realms. Music is a powerful element that can be used for spiritual purposes. The Bible says that Saul, the king, was tormented by an evil spirit. He could not have peace. He could not experience freedom. He could not be at rest. And the Bible says that David, the psalmist who wrote the book of Psalms, came in and began to play the harp before him. And as the music reverberated from the harp, as the sound went forth from the musician, the sound went and transferred from the physical, and it affected the spiritual unseen realms. And the word declares that because of the worship of David, because of the praises of one man, the demonic tormenting spirits fled from the king and he experienced freedom. There is power in music. Whether you realize it or not, there is power in your praise. There is power in your worship. And when you bless him, and when you praise him, and when you worship, you are entering into something that bridges the physical to the spirit. You are engaging in something that is much bigger and something that is much greater than you could ever fathom or imagine. When you worship, it is like light that radiates through and expels the darkness. When you worship and when you praise, it's like a beam of light that is so radiant and so true that it expels the darkness. How many of you have ever been going through something in your life and you just decide you're going to worship, and all of a sudden that uneasiness in your spirit starts to fade away? How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you're thankful, give him praise. There's power in your praise. There's power in your worship. Worship and your praise and the music of the heavens can set you free and sends negativity fleeing. It sends fear dispersing in every direction. The praise and the worship of the true God sets at ease any animosity. It clears up confusion and it drives back pride. There is power in your praise. Worship and music bridges the physical realm to the spirit. This is just for free. I'm just throwing it in there. It's not in the notes. If you examine even the book of Revelation, every time it precedes the coming of the Lord, there is a musical instrument that is played. There is a trumpet that blasts. There is a horn that sounds. There is always a sound that precedes his coming, because the sound illuminates, it prepares a way, it disperses darkness in every direction. There is power in your music. There is power in your praise. Just like light expels darkness, so your praise expels the darkness and the negativity and the fear and the animosity that entrenches your life. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you've been upset and angry, but you just begin to worship and things start to change. See, you might not be able to do anything about the circumstances that surround your life, but you can change the atmosphere by just beginning to praise, by just beginning to worship. You can set your own self free, just like David praised, and the spirits fled from Saul. There's no denying that the spirit is affected by music. No denying it at all. But in the same manner that music can be used for the good, it can also be used for evil. A constant barrage of darkness via music can have the reverse effect on your life. You don't believe me? Have you ever listened to stuff that you knew didn't sit well in your spirit? Have you ever listened to some songs that were full of rage, full of anger, full of chaos? And before you know it, inside of your heart and inside of your own spirit, you begin to feel a little on edge. You get a little angry. You get a little bit easy to anger. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Music affects your spirit. Music affects you whether you realize it or not. I don't know about you, but if you've ever turned on the radio and listened to a bunch of garbage that comes through, you don't feel like praising Jesus in that moment, do you? When they're talking about sheet working and they're talking about getting drunk on a plane or pills and potions, do you feel like saying, "We bless you, Lord, come on, Jesus"? Of course not. What do you feel like doing in those moments? Hiding, just like Adam and Eve hid in the garden. Because worship and music affects the unseen realms of your life. If you listen to lustful music that's talking about, you know what, who knows what, it won't be long before subliminally, subconsciously, you begin to think that way. Your thoughts begin to go there. It's lyrical pornography. It's like having a blood transfusion with hell. You've got to understand that you have to guard your heart. You have to guard your life. And I'm going to go just a step further. I believe that there are many who perish for lack of knowledge. And I believe that there are many people who struggle in a vicious cycle of sin, lust, struggle in a vicious cycle of hate and anger and rage and bitterness and unforgiveness. And I believe with everything that's within me that it's very closely linked to the things that you take in. It's very closely linked to the music that you listen to, because what you put in, you're gonna get out. Some of you are sitting there, "I don't believe that. That's a bunch of mess." All right, well then, if you don't believe me, you can take it from the book, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. I knew you wouldn't believe me, and I'm all right with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. I love this. This is awesome. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Sin, before it's ever committed in the body, is conceived in the mind. I'm going to say that again. Before sin is ever committed in the body, it's conceived in the mind. You say, "Well, my music's not a big deal. I know they drop a couple F-bombs here and there. I know they talk about doing some things that they shouldn't talk about, but I like it. It just sounds so good." I've been there. But we must be awakened to the reality of the war that is around us. The enemy has come with great wrath, bringing deception, and most certainly using the media of music. The word tells us that how he attacks and infiltrates your life is in the unseen areas, in the subliminal areas. He entraps you and entangles you in things that you didn't even know you were caught up in. You must protect your heart. You must protect your spirit. If you want freedom, if you want the light of the glory of God to radiate through you, you must guard yourself from the blatant assault of the enemy, Guard your ears. Guard your eyes. There is a standard of holiness that we must strive for in our life. I know that we are saved by grace through faith. I'm not talking about works-based salvation, but I'm definitely talking about self-sanctification. I'm talking about He sanctifies us by His blood and spirit, but I'm talking about us walking away from the things that we know deliberately drag us down. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Let me say it like this because it'll come out a whole lot better. He has made us righteous, therefore we must walk in righteousness. There we go. Got it out. Sin before it's ever committed in the body is conceived in the mind, and music is one epic medium that the enemy uses to convey it. You must guard what you take in because what you take in eventually affects what comes out. Many of us have entertained spiritual wickedness and we have been completely unaware. This morning, in the remaining few minutes of this message, I'm going to take a moment to just expose some of the most famous and well-known musicians, artists in our generation and in our world. And I want you to understand and see what I'm talking about in action. This morning, I'm going to be talking to you really briefly about the artists Jay-Z and Kanye West. They are some of the most world-renowned, most famous artists, rappers in the world. In fact, Jay-Z has sold over 75 million records. He has received 19 Grammys, and he is one of the world's all-time best-selling musical artists. And this morning, these are not just people that you've never heard of. These aren't just people off. These are people that are affecting the world at large. And parents, you might be in here and you say, I have no idea who Jay-Z is. You're about to find out because your kids do. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about a song called Church, No Church in the Wild. Y'all want to help me out? Listen to this. Listen to the lyrics. We turn it up a little bit. This morning, we've got to be aware of what is happening blatantly right in front of your eyes. And these men, who are some of the world's best-selling and most widely worldwide acclaimed artists, have a hidden agenda that is not so hidden anymore. It's hidden in plain sight. And this morning, I've got to talk to you about the content of this song for just a few moments, because I believe when we examine this, you're going to see, case in point, how the spirit realm intertwines with the physical and how it affects human beings all across our world. This morning, I want to start off by talking about one of the very first verses in this song. If you guys can throw that back up, the very first verse that it talks about in that song. It says, human beings in a mob. What's a mob to a king? What's a king to a god? What's a god to a non-believer? Believe in anything. What you have to understand is this is not just some random song. This song on YouTube alone has 28 million views. If we can leave the verse back up there, please. 28 million views alone on YouTube. That is astounding. This song has been within the Billboard Top 40 multiple times, and it is laced with blasphemy and unbelievable things. And I'm going to tell you something. I could stand here today and talk to you about this song, and we could be here forever. It is unbelievable. But I'm telling you, many of us have been susceptible, have sang along to many of these even lyrics and had no idea what we were singing and speaking over our life. And remember that music affects the unseen realms. Music affects the spirit. Now watch this. Human beings in a mob. What's a mob to a king? What's a king to a god? And what's a god to a non-believer? This verse is playing off of the Christian concept of the great chain of being that says that God is above all things. God is the author and the finisher. He is the architect of the universe, and he reigns above all things. This says a human being is no match for a mob, and a mob is no match for a king, and a king is no match to a god. But what is God to a non-believer? Jay-Z and Kanye are suggesting that by not believing in God, the non-believer trounces him. They're suggesting that by not subscribing to their faith, by not believing in God, you are not ruled by his commandments, and in essence, you are your own God. You are your own authority. You are your own power, and you answer to no one. They're saying that without faith, without believing in him, he has no power over you. Without having faith in God, you are your own God. There is no such thing as sin. There's no sin. There's no such thing if you have permission. This morning, we must be awakened to what is happening in our society and in our world. And I've just got something to share with you really briefly. God's existence is not subject to your faith. His existence is not subject to whether or not you believe in him. I could decide tonight that I don't believe in gravity. But if I jump off of this building, I'm going to find out real quick. It has nothing to do with my opinion. It has nothing to do with my perspective. It has nothing to do with how I view the world. If I choose not to believe in something that is blatantly and astounding obvious, it will be me who pays the price. God is not subject to our faith in him. He is supreme. Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who breathed life into all things. What's a God to a non-believer? Still God Most High. And if you're thankful, give him praise. Now, if we can go on to the next verses, I want to show you something else. And again, literally every single one of these lines is laced with religion, is laced with some sort of faith or lack thereof. It's directed at God. It's a shot. The whole thing is directed at God. In fact, the name of this album that this song is number one on is Watch the Throne. Many people believe that that is a shot. It's a mock to God saying, you better watch your throne. I would not want to be in these gentlemen's position. This is a dangerous thing. And you need to understand what you're singing. You need to understand what's coming through your radio. You need to understand what's being played in your house. You have to guard it. You have to protect your heart. Before the body commits sin, the mind conceives it. You cannot allow these blasphemous words to be spoken over your life. And you're saying, well, Tyson, you're being legalistic. You're being judgmental. No, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just being bold enough to tell you what nobody else will. Call it harmless if you want to, but this is laced with hell. I'm telling you. And can I just take a time out real fast? The reason that these artists are the best selling in the history of the world, the reason that their music is everywhere when you turn, is because we buy their music, we watch their music videos, and we attend their concerts. Stop. Stop supporting the agenda of hell. Stop. St. Tyson, you're getting radical. Well, all right. Have a good day. Now, it gets crazier. Can we go on to the next verse, please? If you don't have it, that's all right. I've got it. The song gets much, much, much worse than this and much, much more graphic. It says this. There's a line in the song that says, Jesus was a carpenter. Yeezy laid beats. Now, I mean, it's in plain sight. I mean, the lyrics are in plain sight, but when the music is played, you don't pick it out, but it's in plain sight. What Jay-Z and Kanye are doing right here is they are literally inserting themselves into the Holy Trinity. The lyrics, you can take those off the screen because obviously that's not the right one, but it says, verbatim, Jesus was a carpenter, Yeezy laid beats, and then it says, Hova flowed of the Holy Ghost. Now, just for those of you who have no clue what in the world I'm talking about, I had no clue either until I studied it, but here's what it means. Jesus was a carpenter. Yeah, we get that. Yeezy is a nickname for Kanye. And Kanye is a famous producer who laid beats, all right? In the song, he is literally identifying himself with Jesus. He's saying he was a carpenter, but I laid the beats. And then Hova, flow of the Holy Ghost. Hova is the nickname that Jay-Z has dubbed himself, short for Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, the one true, holy, sovereign God. This is nothing short of blasphemy. But it gets even worse because if you notice, the Trinity should have three parts, Father, Son, Spirit. Kanye connects himself with Jesus. Jay-Z, Hova, connects himself with the Holy Ghost. And they leave the Father absent, mocking the Holy Trinity as though as to say, there is no God. They, in their twisted world, they perceive themselves to be rap gods, world icons. And if you study this, Kanye is Jay-Z's protege. And so they even have gone as far as to say that Jay-Z, his stuff was virtually unknown until the Holy Ghost Hova descended upon him and found him and discovered him. This is blasphemy. It is evil at the core. Satan is becoming more bold now than ever before. If you have this song, if you have this song, delete this stuff. Get rid of it. Don't let this in your spirit. Don't let this take root in your home. Don't let this in your life. It's just, I'm astounded at this. And it goes on and on and on and on in this song, but not just in this song, but in multiple, multiple songs. And I'm just going to take a time out really quickly and just let you know, you might be sitting there and go, oh, good for me. I don't listen to Jay-Z or Kanye, so I'm good. Okay, but listen, this spirit is behind the music of this world. And it is behind every genre, from cult, from country, to pop, to rap, to hip-hop, you name it. The spirits that are behind this music are not just isolated to rap and hip hop and Kanye and Jay-Z. We must be careful. We must protect ourselves from the deception of the enemy. I'm going to read you one more verse, Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 5. Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 5. And Jesus, answering them, began to say, "Take heed, lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." When we read that verse in Mark 13, we think, well, there's somebody going to come and be the Antichrist and wear a robe or a priest collar and tell us. And we get this mental image. But really, Jesus is speaking to much more than just a person. He's speaking to a spirit. And he's saying that the spirit of Antichrist will come and many will say that I am he. Many will come in my name. But do not be deceived. Not deceived to the part where you would worship Jay-Z or worship Kanye, although many do. He's saying, don't be deceived by their lies. Don't let this stuff come into your heart. Don't let it in your spirit. Do not be deceived, for many will be. We must protect ourselves, our mind, our hearts, and our spirits from the attack of the enemy. And many of you are going through a vicious cycle of sin in your life because you can't seem to free your mind of the same addictions and the same mess that you've struggled with time and time and time again. And could it be that you are subjecting yourself to spiritual wickedness and you don't even realize it? Because before sin is committed in the body, it is conceived in the mind. And as the band comes back to help me close, I want to finish with one more point about this song. Although we could go on for days, we could do a whole series just about this song. They don't deserve that much of our time. They don't deserve that much of our attention. They don't deserve it. But the truth has to be put before you. It has to be. They said, the title of their song, "There's No Church in the Wild," meaning that before there were commandments, before there were regulations, before there was a way, it was total freedom and chaos. So we should return back to that state where there's complete freedom. We can do whatever we want to. But I would say to them this, Kanye, Jay-Z, you are sadly and sorely mistaken, because the first church was in the wild, also known as Eden. See, the church is not a building. The church is not a facade. The church is the dwelling place between God and his people. Eden was far more than a garden. It was a sanctuary of praise, a sanctuary of worship, a sanctuary of humanity drawing close to their creator. Oh, the first church, it was in the wild. If you're thankful, give him praise this morning. Let's worship him. This morning, I didn't come to condemn you or to beat you down with this stuff. I came to bring the truth, and the truth isn't always what you want to hear, but the truth is powerful enough to set you free. Guard your heart, guard your mind, be sober. Be vigilant to the attacks of the enemy. Guarding your heart. Don't conform to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.